Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Pei Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We open up today's Shiur in the middle of a discussion. The Mishnah had mentioned that Kisui Hadam does not apply to Mukdashim. Mukdashim concerns the realm of things that are sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash. We were trying to figure out what type of Mukdashim are we discussing. The Gemara in our previous shiur had come to the conclusion that if we were talking about sacrifices, bird sacrifices specifically, Kisui Hadam could have been performed on them. The question then is, why does the Mishnah say lo b'mukdashim? So the Gemara answered, and it was with this point that we completed our previous shiur. Our Mishnah is talking about koche bedek habayis. That would be where a person had, let us say, dedicated a chicken to the temple repair fund. This is not korbanos, but it's to the Beis HaMikdash repair fund. If someone took a chicken like that that had been dedicated, slaughtered it, and blood then came out, there would be no kisui hadam. The reason for that is that such a chicken slaughtered that had been dedicated to the temple repair fund is forbidden for one to benefit from. And we call that a shchita she'ena ruya, a shchita that's not fit. And since the halacha of kisui hadam applies to something that has been shechted, the assumption is that it's been shechted in a way that you can then benefit from it. The Gemara, with which our shiur opens up now, on the top of Pei Dalet, asks, and you'll notice a triangle. These triangles have been explained already on our previous daf, Pei Gimel Amud Beis, under the Mivneh heading, where we had noted that these are Shlavim, Lahazbir, Mai Taima, and Kisui Dam, B'Kochim. These are different stages in trying to understand why there is no Kisui Dam with regard to Kochim. So the Gemara asks, "Velifrikinu, velichsinu." Why not after the chicken, let us say, that had been slaughtered, that had been dedicated to the temple repair fund, after it had been slaughtered, why not redeem it now? And after it's redeemed, then you could eat from it. It would be no longer considered osur bahana because the sanctity that had been on it is now transferred to money. And at this point, it's the shechita that was done was fit for eating, and do kisui v'lichsinu means, and then now let us do kisui hadam. The Gemara answers, this is not an option. The idea of redeeming a dead dedication, bo'inon ha'amoda v'harocha, we require the item that had been dedicated also to be able to stand up for evaluation for knowing how much to redeem it for. And therefore, since it's dead, it's been shechted, it can't stand up, and therefore it can't be, it can't stand up to be evaluated. The Gemara at this point asks, Ukeman, this idea that koche bedek habayis needs to stand up for evaluation in order for us to be able to redeem it, is in accordance with which Tanaic opinion. And more than that, the Rashi explains, Ukeman, Rashi says, Ukeman mukmis lemasnisin, according to whom are we setting up our Mishnah, the Tarsis law, Bahani Trei Tami, that we already use two different explanations in order to understand or make sense of the Mishnah. We mentioned Shchita Sheina Ruya Lav Shmo Shchita. We had to mention that the slaughtering of the slaughtering of the chicken dedicated to the temple repair fund would have been a Shchita Sheina Ruya. In other words, it's a shechita that was not fit, and as a result of that, it's not called shechita, and as a result of that, there's no kisui adam. And another point that we just made is that uboinon hamodav arocha, that something that had been dedicated to the temple repair fund, in order to redeem it, it needs to be able to stand up and be redeemed, thereby excluding something that's dedicated and dead. So the Gemara is going to ask, according to which Tana is that? At, we now have a bracketed section in the Gemara. After the brackets, the Gemara offers its answer. And the Gemara there says, Omar Rav Yosef Rebihi. The Mishnah, in setting it up, assuming these two points, that Shchita Shein Ruah L'Av Shmo Shchita, and that you need Hamodav Aracha, is in accordance with the opinion of Rebbe, V'nosiv Lo Aliba D'Tanoi. And Rebbe sets up or develops his opinion based on two earlier Tanaic authorities. After we read Rav Yosef, we will then notice a few lines after that. There's an Iboy Esamer, a number two, where the Gemara says, Kulo Reb Shimon Hi. The whole Mishnah can be explained according to Reb Shimon. We will go over, of course, all of this a bit later. However, within the bracketed section, the Gemara raises candidates for who the author of the Mishnah may have been, but immediately rejects them. These are Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Shimon. That's why later in the Gemara, when the Gemara offers as its second explanation under the Ibois Emo number 2 part, where it goes and where the Gemara goes back to Rebbe Shimon, we'll have to explain how that can be when initially the Gemara rejects Rebbe Shimon as author. So now, in the Gemara, the second line from the top. Our Mishnah is according to whom? E Rebbe Meir de Omar Hakol Hoyu Bichlal Hamodav Arocha. If our Mishnah is in accordance with him, who says that all kinds of sanctified animals, if you want to redeem them, they need to be able to stand up and be evaluated, including Kodshei Bedek Habayis, and therefore, therefore we couldn't suggest here that let us redeem it, because it's already dead. However, Ha'omar, but that same Rebbe Meir also holds Shchita Sheina Ruya Shma Shchita. That a shchita that's unfit for eating is nevertheless called shchita. So even if it was kodshei bedek habayis that were shechted improperly, meaning without having been redeemed, that would not be sufficient reason for not doing the kisui. And yet our Mishnah says that mukdashim don't have kisui. Furthermore, e Rebbe Shimon, if our Mishnah were to be set up like him, the Omar shchita sheino ruya lo shma shchita, that a shchita that's unfit for eating is in fact not a shchita, and hence that would have been good reason for explaining why the kodshei bedek habayis when shechted don't need kisui adam, because it's a shchita that's not considered a fit shchita, and therefore no kisui. Nevertheless, ha'omar lo hoyu bichlal hamodav aracha. But that same Rebbe Shimon says that kodshei bedek habayis are not included in the need for being able to stand up and evaluated, and therefore, if they don't need to stand up, they could be redeemed even after they're dead. And that being the case, why not redeem it, as the top line of our Gemara suggests, redeem it, and then do the kisui after it's redeemed, so it could be eaten, and the shechita thereby would be, we'll say, retroactively considered a shechita haruya. So, with that in mind, we still don't understand, if you set up our Mishnah like either Rebbe Meir or Rebbe Shimon, why is there no kisui for mukdashim? Omar of Yosef, Rebbe he, our Mishnah is according to Rebbe, our Mishnah wherein it says, avolo b'mukdashim, and he teaches the Mishnah according to the opinions of different Tanoim. Namely, B'shchita She'ena Ruya, with regard to this topic, Sovar Lo K'Rebbe Shimon, that it's not considered a Shchita. And with regard to Hamodav Arocha, the need for it being able to stand up and be evaluated, and if it's dead, so there's no chance of it being evaluated, and hence not it's non-redeemable, Sovar Lo K'Rebbe Meir, Rebbe will hold like Rebbe Meir that says you do need to have Hamodav Arocha. With this in mind, with setting up, with establishing the Mishnah like Rebbe, according to, we'll call this, choosing the shitas of Rebbe Shimon in one area and Rebbe Meir in another area, we understand why the Mukdashim have no kisui. The Iboy Seimal Kula Rebbe Shimon. Another approach is to say that our Mishnah in fact conforms to Rebbe Shimon. Kula Rebbe Shimon he. Now, if that is true, then we're saying our Mishnah says by Mukdashim there's no need for keys, there's no keys. So even though there was a possibility for the chicken to be have been redeemed, and then the Shechita would have made it possible to eat it and then do the kisui. So, if that's the case, so the shiny hocha, then why, if there was a potential of redemption, why are we not like why are not relying on that to impose kisui? The shiny hocha here, it is different. The Omar Kra, the pasuk by kisui Adam says v'shafach v'chisa. From the word v'shafach is the spilling of the blood in the sense of the shechita and then the kisui. From this we learn, Misha'eno mechusur elo shvicho v'kisui. When is there a kisui requirement? When all that is necessary is the shedding of the blood, the slaughtering, and the immediate covering. Yosa zeh, to the exclusion of the case of the mukdashim, she mechusur shvicha pedia v'kisui. In our case, we said that after the mukdashim were shechted, why not then redeem it and do the kisui? The answer to that is because the pedia, the redemption, comes between the shvicha and the kisui. That already is in violation of the pasuk requirement in having no interposition or block between the shvicha and the kisui. Now the Gemara says, with this in mind, v'hashda the osis lahachi. Now that we've come up with this drasha of v'shafach v'kisa, afilu tema kotshei mizbeach, we can go back to the original approach to the Gemara that we had discussed in our previous shiur. That the Mishnah that says no kisui by mukdashim could have been referred to a could in fact refer to kotshei mizbeach, the sacrificed bird offerings. And you'll ask then, well, we said in our previous year, if it's blood of bird offerings, that could have been wiped off the Mizbeach and then kisui done on the floor after it was wiped off the Mizbeach. That, at this point, is not a solution because of the following. Mi she'enu mechusur ela shvicha v'kisui. According to the pasuk that says v'shafa v'kisa, it is that which has nothing missing other than the shechting and the covering. Yotzozeh, to the exclusion of kotshei mizbeach, that in order to do the kisui there, after the shvicha, you would have to do a wiping. Shemechuser shvicha greira the kisui. You have to do, in addition to the killing of the bird, as is the case in offering a sacrifice, you have to have the wiping before you can do the kisui, the wiping off of the blood off of the mizbeach. And since the greira is found between the shvicha and the kisui, it's no longer in conforming to the pasuk requirement of when there is kisui, namely v'shafach kisui, where there's nothing between the slaughtering and the covering. Mar bar Rav Ashi Omar. He represents an additional approach to explaining why Mukdashim has no kisui. Omar Kro, Rav, let's read that again. Mar bar Rav Ashi Omar. Omar Kro, it says in the pasuk concerning kisui hadam, chaya oy oif. Ma chaya eino koidesh, af oif eino koidesh. Just like a chaya is something that is not a korban, isn't sanctified as a korban, so too a bird is something that, so too the bird that the pasuk is talking about is not holy. And therefore, we're to learn from this that mukdashim are not the topic of the pasuk. Well, I ma chaya she'ein b'mino kodesh. Af oif she'ein b'mino kodesh. It could be that the chiyuv kisui is only something that has in it a type of kodesh. So, if you're going to go with this approach of chaya o'of, Let's read this again. I ma chaya she'en b'mino kodesh, af oif she'en b'mino kodesh. Otsi terenu b'nei ona, she'esh b'minon kodesh. Reading this line again, I ma chaya she'en b'mino kodesh, af oif she'en b'mino kodesh. If we are going to learn like Marbar of Ashi, using the pasuk of Chaya Oy Oif, in order to exclude sanctified birds from Kisui, just like Chayos are not sanctified, namely, they are not offered on the Mizbeach, if we carry this analogy or this comparison straight through, then it will come out as follows in this suggestion. If just like by a chaya, where no chaya is fit for the mizbeach and there is kisui, so too birds where there is no, where birds that have no type of bird that is offered will be chayav in kisui. Af oif she'ein v'mino kodesh, even a bird that, or so too birds that of them there is none that is sanctified, those will have kisui. However, oitzi toren ubnei yona, let us exclude the toren ubnei yona birds, sheyesh b'minon kodesh. Those are the kind of birds that are fit for the mizbeach. And it would come out then that toren ubnei yona birds, even if they happen to be chulin, you would not do kisui to them. The rule being, according to this suggestion, that birds are like chayas. Just like chayas have kisui, and we're talking about all chayas, none of which are fit for the mizbeach, so too by birds. What kind of birds will require kisui? Those kind of birds, none of which are fit for the mizbeach. However, birds that are fit for the mizbeach, for example, terenu b'nei yona, even if they are non-sanctified, they should not require kisui. The Gemara rejects this suggestion and says, lo, rather, kechaya. We are going to continue our comparison of bird to chaya as follows. Ma chaya lo chilakta bo, just like by chaya, all chayas are chayav in kisui, af oif, lo tachlok bo. So too, when it comes to birds, we will make no distinctions between those birds that are of which none go to the mizbeach, and those birds that do go to the mizbeach. However, Rashi adds, in order for there to be a kisui requirement, they do have to be chulin. Omele yankiv mino l'rova. Yankiv Mino says to Rava, Kaimalon, we hold as a principle, Chaya b'chlal behema l'simonim. When the Torah gives the signs of kashrus, the chewing of the cud and the totally split hooves, it gives them in the context of behemos. And we know that chayos, undomesticated animals, are included within the realm of domesticated behema, domesticated animals, with regard to the same kosher signs requirement. By the same token, Eimonami behema b'chlal chaya l'kisui. Why not say that behema is within the realm of chaya with regard to kisui? Namely, just like chaya requires kisui, so too behema should require kisui. Omar le, so Rava answers, Olech Omar kra, regarding what you are trying to say, the posuk answers and says, Rak hadam lo sochelu al haoretz tishbechenu kamoyim. Ma mayim lo boi kisui, af hai nami lo boi kisui. Just like water doesn't require covering, so too, behema blood does not require kisui. Alright, ela me'ata. Well, if you're calling behema blood water, yat bilu bo, then behema blood should be suitable for immersion, just like water is something in which people immerse themselves, as is the case of a mikveh, so too immersion should be able to take place in behemoth blood. To that we answer, Omar Kro, Ach Mayon Ubor Mikveh Mayim Yet Tahor. That is the pasuk that describes immersion in bodies of water, and says, Hani in Midiach Rinolo. These are the sources of Tevila, a Mayon, a Bor, a Mikveh Mayim, and not something else, and not Behemo blood. Question, the Emo Hani Mili, the Mute Shar Mashkin, Delo Ikru Mayim. If you're saying that this pasuk is coming as a limitation, so let us say that we limit other kinds of beverages that are simply never called by the term mayim. Aval dam, but when it comes to blood, the ikri mayim hochinami, blood which is called water, as we saw in the pasuk just above, al ha'aretz tishpachenu kamayim, referring to blood, it should be suitable for tevila. The Gemara answers, Trei mi'uti ksivi. We have two limitations that are in operation here. Ma'ayon mayim, ubor mayim. The pasuk that we read before has the word mayim in it as understood as part of ma'ayon and as bor. And as a result of that, we have in effect two limitations, whereby we exclude other kinds of beverages that are not called water, and even blood, which is called water. Question: Emo idi v'idi v'mute shar mashkin. If we have two miutim, maybe they're both used to exclude other kinds of beverages from being suitable for immersion, but not to exclude blood. And you'll ask, what do I need two limitations? I'll explain. Chad v'mute zochalin. One is to exclude other kinds of beverages if they are, let us say, flowing in a stream, in a flowing fashion. Rashi explains other beverages that you would, let's say, put on some type of incline, and they would be flowing downwards. This kind of beverage would not be suitable, or this situation would not be suitable. And v'chad l'mutei mechunasim, a situation where the other beverages are gathered together. Let us glance at the Rashi momentarily for the under the Zochalin or crossim here. Rashi says, Zochalim shar mashkim shenosnon b'mokom midron v'hizchilon l'mikveh. Other beverages that you put on some type of decline, and they flowed into a pool. The ilu gabi mayim kaimalon b'tmura b'perakama. With regard to water, we hold in the Gemara and Maseches Tmura says, Hashiva mitaheres b'ravia v'hamshacha. If you have drawn water, which itself is not suitable for immersion, and you took the drawn water and had it flow on the ground into a pool, im ravu me gishamim ad chof aleph sa'in. If, let's say, you had a majority of rainwater, 21 out of 40 sa'a, 40 the required minimum number of sa'a for a mikveh, let's say you had 21 of mei gishamim, mamshich l'soichon she'uvin b'zechila yutes se'in. You can complete the 40, in other words, add to the 21, 19 drawn sa'a of water through this process of having it, the drawn water flow on the ground into the pool containing the 21 saw, and that would be good. So maybe what we're trying to do with the two mi'utim is to exclude sha'ar mashkim from this zochalin approach that we just learned in the Rashi, and the second mi'ut is to exclude other beverages from immersing in them when they are gathered together in a pool. The Gemara answers, Tlosa mi'uti ksivi. From the pasuk that we cited before, we actually can extract three limitations, the word mayim being distributed amongst the different elements mentioned in that pasuk, and you come out with the following, ma'ayon mayim, ubor mayim, mikveh mayim. And as a result of having an additional mi'ut, we are able to exclude blood as well. Namely, even though behema blood is called water, nevertheless, it's not suitable for immersion. So the Gemara, in taking, let's say, an overview of what we have accomplished in the recent sugya, we have established the hesber of why there is no kisui adam by mukdashim, specifically by things that are dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash, whether it be dedicated to the Temple Repair Fund or even Kodshei Mizbeach. Continuing in the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source, and the source begins quoting a section of a Pasuk, Asher Yotsud. This is referring to, again, in the context of Kisui Hadam, Ein Li'ela Asher Yotsud. I would learn from these words only things that you trapped. Let's say someone took a bird from his chicken coop, or geese or chickens that you already have in your possession, not something that you freshly caught, something that hatched, let's say, in your chicken coops. That from where do I know that they also require kisui? Talmud Lomar, tzeid. That word appears in the pasuk as well. Tzeid, meaning mikomakom, any form of it being in your possession, whether you recently trapped it or it developed already in your domain. Him kain ma tam loma asher yotsud. If you're saying that even stuff that you, that even types of birds or chayas that grew in captivity, why does the pasuk indicate asher yotsud, indicating something that you just caught, that you had to trap? Answer: Limdo Torah derech eretz. The Torah teaches us a proper way of life. Shelo yochal odom bosor elo bahazmono hazos. That a person should not accustom himself to eating meat, other than through this this spirit or style. What do we mean by that? So if we glance in the Rashi, a few lines down from here, elo bahazmono hazos kiilu hutzad. In other words, the when does one or how often should one eat meat? Well, he should eat it actually rarely, from time to time, as if he had to go out and trap it. She'ena mizumenes lo. It's not something that's immediately available. Klomar lo yochal boser todir. Rashi says one should not eat meat on a regular basis. Shelo ye'ani, meat being expensive, getting into the habit of eating meat will actually lead to one becoming impoverished. Tanu Rabbanan, we have another Tanaic source, which also describes what we have under our topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei, which is the topic, Hanhogas Toivois Hakshurim L'Achilas Basar, proper behavior with regard to meat consumption. So we have another source. It opens with a pasuk from Devorim, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chav, Ki Yarchiv Hashem Elokecha Es Gvul Chav. Before we go further, let's just read the rest of the pasuk to gain a certain flavor of things. The pasuk says, "Ki archiv Hashem alokechas gvulcha kasher diber loch v'yomarta ochlo basar ki tav nafshecha lechol basar v'chol avas nafshecha tolcha basar." These terms, or this pasuk, will appear in this source as we go on. So the pasuk describes the Jewish people entering the land of Israel, with the boundaries increasing. Limdo Torah derech eretz. The Torah is telling us a proper way of life. Shelo yochal odom basar elo lote avon. That a person should not eat meat unless he truly has a desire for it. Yochal yikach odom min hashuk v'yochal. Is it suggested that a person should buy meat from the marketplace and eat? Talmud Lomar v'zavachto mibkorcha umitzoncha. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph it says that you shall slaughter your own cattle and sheep, indicating if you own cattle, then that is what you should eat. But to go and buy it in the market, that no. As Rashi says, if you have it in your own herd, then eat the meat. But we don't recommend, according to the Torah, to go out and buy meat. Yochol yizbach kol bekoro v'yochal, kol tzono v'yochal. Let us say a person has only one ox, or he has one sheep. Should he slaughter his only ox or sheep and eat it? Talmud lomar mi b'karcha, v'lo kol b'karcha. Only if you have other heads of animals do we suggest taking one and slaughtering and eating it. That's what the mem of the word mi b'karcha, from your cattle, not all of your cattle. Mikan Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, mi sheyesh lo mona yikach lelifso litroyerek. A person who is poor, he has a mona, it's a certain amount of money, he should buy with his limited funds, for lelifso means like for his pot, basically means for his food, a litra is a certain amount, a quantity of vegetables. Asora mona, if a person has more wealth, he has 10 mona, then yikach lelifso litra dogim, then he should buy this measure of fish. Chamishim mona, if he's even wealthier, yikach lelifso litra basar. However, mea mona, if he has 100 mona, then yishvois kedera b'chol yom. Then he can place down, yishvois is an expression of placing a pot on the fire. Then he can place on his fire pots, probably of meat, every day. But he'd have to be very wealthy in order to for us to recommend his doing that. The inoch imas, others who don't have the means of boiling up or of serving up meat every day, when should they eat meat? Answer, the Erev Shabbos, L'Erev Shabbos. In other words, the previous people, Rashi explains that this is going on those that we suggest eating a litra of fish or a litra of meat, when should they eat that if not every day? So the Gemara answers that should be eaten from Erev Shabbos, meaning on Shabbosim, to eat these special foods, fish and meat. Omar Rav, Tzrichen Onu Lochush L'Divrei Zokein. Rav says that we should bear in mind, adopt this lifestyle as suggested by Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It's interesting to note, parenthetically, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah himself was a very wealthy individual, but he had this sensitivity to the general population and was able to set up a certain rating, if you will, of what you should buy based on what income you have. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Abba mimishpachas briyim have. Rabbi Yochanan, addressing what Rav said, which basically suggested a limitation in the amount of meat that one eats, insofar as Rav said that we should weigh the words of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah very carefully and take him into consideration. So Rabbi Yochanan says that's fine and good for Rav, who didn't need the meat. He comes from a family of healthy individuals. Mimishpachas briyim have. They are healthy. They're, I'd say, naturally healthy, so they can get by on minimal type of food. Avol kegon anu. But with regard to people like us who are weak, mi sheyesh lo pruta besoch kiso, if a person has even a small amount of money in his pocket, yiritzena lechen voni, he should run off and buy what he has to buy from the store. And this might be in context of what we learned above, that one should not buy from the shuk. He should use only cattle or a sheep that he himself already owns. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying to limit us to that, we who are not healthy, we are not strong, can't afford to live with such a restraint. And therefore he says that if you have even a pruta, go run off to the store and buy. From the context of this Gemara, it would seem go buy meat. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman represents another generation, even later than Rabbi Yochanan. Kegon anu, we who are even weaker, lovin vochan, we should borrow money and eat the meat. Kvosim liluvushecha. From this pasuk we learn, megeiz kvosim ye malbushcha. From the shearing of sheep, one should prepare clothing. The idea Rashi explains here is that there's a recommendation, buy sheep and you'll have its shearings, and from that you'll produce your clothing. The pasuk says, "Umechir sadeh atudim." What do we learn from this? La'olam yimkor adam sadeh v'yikach atudim. V'al yimkor adam atudim v'yikach sadeh. If a person wants to know how to invest his funds, he suggests sell your sadeh, your property, your land, and buy with the money atudim, sheep, and not the other way around. Don't sell your sheep in order to buy land. The Rashi, second line from the bottom, tells us v'yikach atudim tzon, is the sheep, goats, sheyesh lo mehem cholav lefarnosa v'gizim lo bush. You have milk produced from these animals that you can sell and derive and have an ongoing income, and the shearings will be up to your benefit as well for clothing manufacture. Continuing in the Gemara, V'dei chalev izim, dayo la'adam sheyisparnes mecholav gedim utloim shebesoch beso. Rashi says on this, dayo la'adam hochi mashma dei chalav izim, day l'cha b'chalavam v'lo sishchetein v'tochlam. The recommendation according to this is that you should, if you have goats, keep them around for their milk and don't slaughter them and eat them. And let's read that now in the Gemara. V'dei chalev izim, dayo la'adam shisparnes mecholav gidoyim utloim shebesoch beso. As we read earlier, that it is sufficient for a person to sustain himself from the milk of goats and sheep that he has in his house. The pasuk says, l'lachmecho l'lechem beisecha. From this we learn, l'lachmecho kodem l'lechem beisecha, that one has to worry about himself before he can worry about members of his household. If the head of the house himself is not functioning, so the whole house will fall apart. Therefore, it's important for a person to concern himself initially, not in a selfish fashion, but in a practical fashion with himself and then the other members of his house. V'chayim l'narusecha, also in the pasuk that we have been darshaning. Amar marzutra brei d'Rav Nachman, tein chayim l'narusecha. Give life to the youth in your house. What does that mean? Mikan limdo tor derech eretz. The Torah from here is trying to communicate a proper way of life. Shelo yilamed adam esbeno bosar v'ayin. That a person should not. The word yilamed is an expression of habit or constancy. That a person should not get his children into the habit of having meat and wine all the time. Rashi says here that a person should develop a lifestyle of getting by on mezonos kalim, on light food. How wise this recommendation is. Many people might be in a good financial state today, but who knows what tomorrow brings. So if people get in the habit of consuming, of living on rich and expensive food items, what happens to those people when they can no longer afford it? Whereas those who may be in fact able to afford it but are in the habit of getting by on little, so even if hard times come, they don't have to make any type of they don't have to make any adjustment. They're already used to getting by on little. At this point, we have another geometric form. We will notice in our Gemara the presence of triangles with colored in tips. These highlight the name Rabbi Yochanan. And in our heading on the outside margin under the Mivneh, the structural note we've written, Sidra Shel Meimros de Rabbi Yochanan Banhogos Vinyone Derech Eretz. Comments of Rabbi Yochanan under the topic of proper way of lifestyle and behavior. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Horoitse She Yisasher, a person who is interested in becoming well-to-do, Yasok b'vehema daka. He should involve himself with behema daka is the realm of light cattle, sheep, and goats. The Tosfos at the top opens up an interesting point. Tosfos says, "Horotzi shasir yasek bebeima davin tomar damrinu perek mokam shenogu." You may ask as an objection, but it says in Masechet Psachim in the perek entitled Mokam Shenagu, "Ha'oisi beima daka eino roya simin brocha." One who involves himself with this very thing, beheima daka, he won't see a simin brocha. He won't see success. The Omer Rabbeinu Tam, in order to resolve that Gemara with what we have over here, that one who wants to become wealthy should involve himself with the Behema Daka, Rabbeinu Tam says, the Hosam B'Yishuv, U'mishum Ayin Hora. The Gemara Psochem is describing someone who raises his sheep and goats under the watchful eye, so to speak, of all his neighbors. B'Yishuv means in a populated area. So that if one in a populated area is raising sheep and goats, so he should not expect to see Simin Brocha from that because of the Ayin Hora, we'll call it literally the evil eye, but it's the jealousy that is generated by other people seeing what you are doing. Avol Hocha, I read our Gemara here in Chulin, which mentions that the Isug Bemadaka brings wealth, that's Bechorshin, in the forests. The Lo Shalta Behu Eina, we're talking about in the open or the areas far away from civilization. If you're able to raise sheep and goats in that kind of area, then there won't be the Ayin Hora problem. Omar Rav Chista, Mai Dichtiv V'Ashterois Tzoynecha, that expression is found in the Pasuk in Sefer Dvorim. The word V'Ashteros is Shema Ashros Es Baleim. They bring wealth to its owners. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Kosa de Harshin Velo Kosa de Poshin. As we mentioned in our introduction, Rabbi Yochanan continues to give us counsel in how to experience good living. So he says, the general topic here is what has to do with preparing yourself a drink. So he says, better a cup full of witchcraft, the low cost of the potion, better than a cup of lukewarm water. Lukewarm water contains in it some all kinds of things that are bad for the body. As one can well imagine, even using contemporary ideas, a lukewarm water provides an environment for all kinds of microbes to develop, and that could be injurious. However, we'll notice there are a lot of qualifications on what we just said. V'hani mili b'klei matchis. This is true if the lukewarm water is in a metal cup, a metal container. Aval b'klei cheres less lanba. If it's in earthenware, then it is of no concern, doesn't bother us. U'b'klei matchis nami lo amoran. And as far as metal vessels also, we don't say that it's injurious, elo delo shadi behu tzivya, that there have been no tzivya added to it. Rashi describes tzivya as shroshe asavim v'tavlin, different types of grass roots and spices. If you have the lukewarm water in a metal vessel without any spices added to the water, then it's injurious. Avol shadi behu tzivya, if tzivya has been added to the lukewarm water in the metal vessel, less lanba, then it doesn't pose a threat. V'chi lo shadi behu tzivya, nami lo amaran, even in the absence of the tzivya added to the lukewarm water in the metal vessel, there too is elo delo tzitz, that it was never boiled up. Avol tzitz, if the water had been previously boiled up, less lanba, then the lukewarm water in the metal vessel that had been previously boiled up poses no threat. So how interesting this Gemara is, and how this observation is, when we know today that boiling in fact kills all kinds of microscopic organisms that could pose a health threat. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mi Shiniach Lo Aviv Mois, V'Roitze La'Avdon. Now, this comment could be taken in a cynical fashion. It says a person who inherited money and wants to see it all lost. So, basically Rabbi Yochanan is going to give us a good advice in how to how one should preserve his funds. So if you taking it in the negative, if a person wants to see the funds that he inherited get used up, so yilbash klei pishton, he should wear linen garments that they're expensive, and of course that will cost him a lot of money. So the good advice is to avoid purchasing this kind of garment. A second thing, yishtamesh bekli zechuchis, buy glassware. We can assume that the glassware that the Gemara is referring to is, in the context of the Gemara, was something very expensive. And by the way, we will see as the Gemara goes on, these points are elaborated on. So in the meantime, it would be sufficient for us simply to read the points. Wear linen, use glassware, v'yiskor poilin v'al yeshiv imoyim. Hire workers and don't bother sitting with them and supervising them. Now, the Gemara explains a little further. Yilbosh kli pishton. If you want to see your funds used up, so buy linenware. But what kind of linenware? The kisna rumisa. The kisna rumisa, the rumisa linen is that which is referred to as being very expensive. But there are other standard or basic types of linen clothing that are not expensive, and hence that would not cause your loss of funds. The second point that was mentioned was v'yishtamish b'kli zechuchis, the use of glass, but that's bezugisa chivrasa. Chivrasa is white, a white type of glass. That apparently is what is very expensive and will use up your funds if you buy it. And the third point, v'yiskor polin v'al yeshiv imoyim, hire workers and don't supervise them. That's beturi, denofish psidayu. Now let's look at the Rashi for an explanation of this. Beturi, turi is a reference to oxen. Yiskar poalim, Rashi says, v'yimsar lohem shvorim shaloi lachroish. Hire workers and give them your oxen to plow with. In other words, you're hiring workers to plow a field. And as you hire them, you supply them with your own oxen. V'hem yakishwa shvorim v'yiskivum b'yoros v'kromim. The workers, since it's not their own animals, they'll work the animals till they become weakened and full of bruises. That's yaskavum, has to do with bruising in the amongst the trees. V'hamlocha lo tale leklum she'enon choshishin lekach. Apparently, the loss that you'll experience will outweigh the gain, because they have no concern over the welfare of your animals. The Gemara continues, Dorash Rav Avira, Zimnin Omar Lo Mishmei Rav Ami, V'Zimnin Omar Lo Mishmei Rav Asi. So we have Rav Avira saying over the following, sometimes in the name of Rav Ami and sometimes in the name of Rav Asi, Mai Dichtiv, Tov Ish Chonein U'Malve Yichalkel Dvorov B'Mishpat. The Rashi on this Tov ish chonein dalim umalve oisam v'toyv hamechalkel dvarav v'mishpat lefi hayecholus hu omeid al tzrochav v'lo b'chol ta'avas liboy. The gist of this pasuk, and the Gemara will elaborate, but the gist of this is that a person should sustain himself based on his means and not based on his desires. So now the Gemara expounds on this. The olam yoichal adam v'yishte pochos mimash yeshlo. A person, when it comes to buying food and drink, he should buy items that are less than he can actually afford. In other words, he may be able to afford more expensive food and drink. Nevertheless, the eights of the council is buy under your means. When it comes to clothing oneself, there he should clothe himself according to his means. When it comes to one's wife and children, now the Gemara uses the word yichabed, very often is translated as honor, but we have to take it in the context of the Gemara, would mean provide for provide for one's wife and children more than his means, which could imply that a person should even go out on a limb and borrow in order to provide for his wife and children. Or it could be in the context of, as opposed to himself, where he spends according to his means, when it comes to his wife and kids, he should overextend himself. And why is there this special attention to wife and kids? Shehein tluyin bo. They are dependent on you. Vehu tolui b'mi sh'omar v'hoya oylam. But you are dependent on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. A very fascinating idea here in how one looks at the, we'll call it the family unit, where the head of the household, he is the one that is, we'll say, in constant connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the davening, and his spiritual development. However, one's wife and kids, the nature of things is that the wife is looking to her husband for support. If you learn through Maseches Ksubas, you will see how much the Chazal have concerned themselves with making sure that the husband provides support for his wife. That's his obligation. The Pasuk speaks about She'er Ksus V'Oino, which is a reference to some of these points. That's the husband's obligation. So he is the one that has to take care of her, and that's what is expected. It's almost as if to suggest here that the wife and children have all the legitimate rights in the world to turn to their father, husband, for their support. And as a result of that, he has to extend himself for their benefit. As far as the head of the household's own welfare is concerned, for that he turns to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Dorash Rav Eino Apischa Debei Reish Gelusa. Rav Eino explained while he was standing at the entrance to the house of the exilarch, Hashochet L'Choyle B'Shabbos Chayav L'Chasos. One who needed to slaughter, let's say, a chaya or a bird for a person who was deathly ill on Shabbos, that blood needs to be covered. In other words, he's chayav to, since Shabbos was pushed away for the right or for the benefit of doing the shechita, it's also pushed off. In other words, the kisur adam is going to supersede Shabbos, and it shall be done for this shechita. Omar lehu rabo, ishtoma ka'omar. Ishtoma means he said something amazing in the sense that it's hard to understand, something that's very difficult to understand. Before going ahead in the Gemara, let's just draw our attention to the fact that we've assigned a topic heading to this Gemara, the Nosei HaShochi L'Choyle B'Shabbos, Mahadin L'Gabi Kisui Adam B'Shabbos. One who slaughters for an ill individual who needs it, and Shabbos obviously can be violated to preserve a life. What is the din regarding the Kisui, the covering of the blood of that Shechita? So, in the meantime, Rav Eino said it needs to be covered. Kisui Adam needs to be done. Rava reacted and said, this is hard to understand. In other words, Rava feels that this is untrue, it's incorrect. And he continues raising a question. We'll see through our markings we can see that this is a long objection or question. We have a kuf encircled to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicating the length of Rabba's question. So Rabba says, Ishtoimo komar. He said something difficult to understand, amazing in the sense of difficulty. Lishmetua l'amore mine. Remove his amora. Rashi explains this expression, Lishmetu la'amore, yachtachu es lishono she'omar ba. Cut out his tongue, the tongue that he said this terrible mistake. Rashi has a second explanation, but for our purposes, Rabba is communicating the sentiment that this has to be stopped. Desanya. Now we have a Tanaic source. We want to take note of a little comment that we have written on the inside margin. there's a heora, a note. Hagemara b'haschola mevio mokor ze kikushya al Ravena. Initially, the Gemara presents this source as a challenge, as a kasha on Ravena. Acharkach chamei shiros misof omud mamshicho lasbir toichen shel habraiso ad hamishnah on pei hei omed aleph. After this is done, after this objection is raised, the Gemara then continues to explain the content of this source, and that will preoccupy the Gemara till the Mishnah on Daf Pei Hei Omed Aleph. So let us continue now in the source. We're dealing with the issue of Kisui Hadam on Shabbos. And obviously we're talking about Kisui Hadam when the initial Shechita, the initial slaughtering, was allowed and necessary to have taken place on Shabbos. Tisanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Koi Ein Shochten Oso B'Yom Tov. The Koi creature, an animal that is a suffix, whether it's a behema or a chaya, is not to be slaughtered on Yom Tov. Even though slaughtering is something that is allowed to be done on Yom Tov, that's when you're slaughtering something that, for example, a behema that doesn't need shechita. So we have melechas ochel nefesh, melechas that are needed for food preparation are allowed to be done. A koi, on the other hand, is something that we don't know whether it's a behema and hence does not need kisui, or is it a chaya, and which is something that does need kisui. And it also says, v'im shachto, if one went ahead anyway and shechted the koi, ein mechasin es domo. The blood is not to be covered. Mi kal v'chomer, based on kal v'chomer logic. Uma milo shevado'o doiche Shabbos ein sveiko docho yom tov. The performance of circumcision, when it's definitely necessary, meaning the eighth day falls out on a Shabbos, you violate Shabbos or in fulfillment of the bris milah of doing this circumcision, which involves chilul Shabbos. Nevertheless, milah which has this strength to it, in that a vadai milah situation, a certainty situation of milah, eighth-day-old baby. If you have an issue of mila safek, ein sveka deiche yom tov. The case of safek by mila would be a child that's born, and you don't know if it was born on yom tov, let's say 8 days before yom tov, or 9 days before yom tov. If you have a case like that, so when yom tov comes around, what we really should do is withhold any further comment on the issue of Sveiko Docha Yom Tov till we get later into the Gemara. The Gemara will elaborate more than we should do right now. Nevertheless, we're saying, mind you, Mila, which its Vadai is Docha Shabbos, and its Sofek is not Docha Yom Tov, Kisui She'ein Vado'o Docha Shabbos. Here we've dashed underlined what is really the critical line of the source for our immediate purposes. Kisui, where even the Vadai situation is not Doche Shabbos, Ein Din, She'ein, Sveiko, Doche, Yom Tov, all the more obvious it is that the Sofek, when it comes to Kisui Adam, will not be Doche Yom Tov, won't supersede Yom Tov. Omru Lo, those that disagreed with Rabbi Yossi say as follows. Tkias shofar bigvulin tochiach. Let the case of the shofar blowing, bigvulin means outside the Beis HaMikdash, prove. She'ein vado'o doiche Shabbos, usveika doiche Yom Tov, where we do not blow the shofar on Shabbos, even though it happens to be Rosh Hashanah. In other words, if you know that that Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, comes out on Shabbos, that's a Vadai situation, and it's not Doche Shabbos, and yet we know by the Sofek, it's Doche Yom Tov. What is meant by Sveika Doche Yom Tov? So this too, we will have to hold off and let the Gemara explain later. But what they are trying to argue then is just by virtue of the fact that you see that the Vadai is not Doche, that doesn't prove that the Sofek is likewise not going to be Doche. because here we have a case of Avarai not being Doche, and yet the Suffolk is Doche. And by virtue of that argument, they want to tell you that the koi that's shechted on Yom Tov could be covered. Reb Elozer Hakapor Bribi, Heshiv Reb Elozer Hakapor Bribi Tshuva. This is a second response against Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi was trying to argue that the Kisui, in the case of a koi, is certainly not going to doche Yom Tov. So Reb Elozer HaKapor Bribi answers, Ma Lamila, how can you, Reb Yossi, make a Kal V'chomer using Mila as a jumping off point? Shekein Eino Neheges Belele Yomim Tovim. It's something that's not done during the nighttime of Yom Tov. Tomar B'Kisui, Shenoe Belele Yomim Tovim. Should you say the same thing regarding Kisui, which is something that can be done at night? Omar Rabbi Abba, Ze Echod Min Advorim, Sha'omar Rabbi Chia, Ein Li Aleim Tshuva. This is one of those things that Rabbi Chia had said, I have no response to the Kal V'chomer of Rabbi Yossi. Veheshiv Rabbi Elozer HaKapor Bribi Tshuva, and Rabbi Elozer HaKapor Bribi did offer a rebuttal. Kotoni Mihas. It, however, says in the above source, Kisui She'ein Vado'o Doche Shabbos. We were making a Kal V'chomer from Milo, from Bris Milo, to Kisui. And it was argued that Kisui She'ein Vado'o Doche Shabbos, then certainly the Suffolk won't be Doche Yom Tov. My vado the kisui the lo dochi Shabbos. What is meant by that? The certainty case of kisui that is not doche Shabbos. Lav hashoche l'chole b'Shabbos. Is it not our case? The slaughtering for a sick man on Shabbos. And the point is that kisui is, it says in this source, kisui is not done even though the shechita circumstances are totally legitimate. They're for a choyla on Shabbos. And that would be a kasha on Rav Eino. Rav Eino had opened up this discussion by saying that one who is shochet for a choyla on Shabbos does do the kisui. This Tanaic source, especially the line that we had dashed, underlined in the source itself, indicates to the contrary. The Gemara's answers or attempts to respond to Rabba's objection. V'dilmo de'ovar v'shochat. Maybe what the source is referring to when it says that the kisui she'ein vado doche Shabbos is talking about someone who violated Shabbos in doing an unwarranted slaughtering. Someone slaughtered for a healthy person. So under such circumstances, Shabbos is not Nitan Lidchia, it's not given over to being over, to being superseded. So under those circumstances, then Kisui is not to be done. But if you're talking about a warranted Shechita, the Kisui can be done. So the Gemara responds to this objection and says, and basically we reinstate Rabbah's question as follows. Dumya Demila, the din of Kisui is taught in parallel to the way we are approaching Mila. Ma Mila Bereshus, just like Mila that was mentioned in this source is Mila that was done with permission, that was warranted, and when the source said Ma Mila Sheva Doyo Deche Shabbos, we're talking about a baby on its eighth day that happens to fall out on Shabbos, because the baby was born on Shabbos. Af Kisui Nami Bereshus, so too the point mentioned regarding Kisui was Kisui done following a warranted Shechita, like the case of Shochet L'chole. And nevertheless, it says in the source, Kisui is not Doche Shabbos. One does not do Kisui. And hence we have in effect reinstated the objection to Rav Eino. So at this point, we in effect conclude the challenge to Rav Eino that was started by Rabba, and the Gemara now proceeds to deal with some of the other
points and arguments that were mentioned in the source itself. So what we have, by way of our markings, we have a period, and now there follows a frame section, which is a quote from the source above, and we're going to try to understand each section of the source on its own merit. Omru lo, the rabbis had argued against Rabbi Yossi, tkias shofar begvulin tochiach, the issue of shofar blowing outside the Beis HaMikdash shall prove to our side of thinking, in other words, counter what you have argued. She'ein vado doiche Shabbos, usfeko doche Yom Tov, where the vadai does not supersede Shabbos, and yet the suffek will supersede Yom Tov. So, too, by the kisui, it could very well be that the vadai, even though it's not doche Shabbos, there is still room for saying that the kisui by a suffek will be doche. Now, the Gemara tries to explain the terms that we attempted not to explain when we learned the source initially. My sveka. What is meant by the term sveka? Ilema sofek choil sofek yom tov. In this source it said that the case of sofek is doiche. Doiche yom tov. So if sofek means that I'm misupik whether it's choil or yom tov, hashto vadai yom tov dachio. Once I know that shofar blowing is done when you know it's yom tov, sofek yom tov, sofek chol mibaya, would I need to be taught a case of where I'm in doubt that it's yom tov or chol? If in a case where you know it's yom tov, you blow the shofar, then certainly, if you are mesupak. Now, the case of Suffolk, Rashi points out, is the case of the second day of Rosh Hashanah, or say the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. One of them, Rosh Hashanah, as far as the Torah is concerned, is only 1 day, yet we celebrate 2 days. One of those 2 days is really a weekday, and yet we blow the shofar on both days. So, is that the point of this source when it says Sveika Deuche Yom Tov? It would be to seem too obvious, because we know that even the Vadai Yom Tov, where it's certainly Yom Tov, yet shofar blowing supersedes Yom Tov. So it's all the more obvious that shofar blowing will supersede a day that might in fact be a weekday, where there'd be no problem to begin with. So what is meant in this source when it says regarding the shofar blowing, the gvulin ein vado doche Shabbos, and the sofek is doche yom tov? What is the sofek? Ela sofek ish, sofek isha. The Gemara at the top of daf pei hei says this is a reference to a type of person whose sexual status is not clear. Whether he is a sofek, maybe a man, maybe a woman. Now, we have to take this information and plug it back into the discussion in the initial source where Rabbi Yossi had opened up his discussion. We are using this information of shofar blowing to demonstrate where the vadai is not doche Shabbos. That would mean you have, in this case now, a man who is definitely bound, definitely chayv in the mitzvah, and yet if it's Shabbos, he doesn't blow the shofar. If you have someone that is a sofek man, sofek woman, He is entitled, he will blow on Yom Tov. And with that, the Rabbanan were trying to argue, we should allow Kisui of the Koi on Yom Tov. Now, Rabbi Yossi, who argued to the contrary, Rabbi Yossi Litame, in other words, Rabbi Yossi doesn't accept this shofar argument, is consistent with his own reasoning, the Omar Isha Vadoyes Nami Toka, a woman, as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, is no different than a man in the sense that she is also suitable or worthy of blowing the shofar. Desanya, and here's a source indicating Rabbi Yossi's attitude toward women and the mitzvahs that they're not actually commanded to do. It's true that the woman is not commanded to do shofar, and yet, according to Rabbi Yossi, she nevertheless can do the shofar blowing. so that she is not, this, according to Rabbi Yossi, the woman is not a, this individual is a Suffolk man, Suffolk woman, is not a good example of someone that has two sides to him, one side bound, other side not bound. Because as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, the woman is, in a sense, like a man in that she is worthy of fulfilling these mitzvahs. Desanya b'nei Yisrael somchin v'lo b'nei Yisrael somchos. The pasuk in the context of smicha, which is a process of laying one's hands or resting upon a sacrifice before it's slaughtered. So the Torah uses the expression b'nei Yisrael. And the Tanakhama learns from that b'nei Yisrael is in the masculine to the exclusion of b'nos Yisrael, to the exclusion of women. They do not do smicha. Reb Yossi, Reb Shimon Omrim, Noshim Somchos Rishus. And we've dashed underlined Reb Yossi. He is really the focus of our attention. And he points out that women are allowed to do smicha, even though if there were any problem here, there would be a violation of using or benefiting from sacrifices, from kachim, which is one is not allowed to do. So by the fact that Rabbi Yossi says that women are allowed to do smicha, it shows that they are a legitimate player, so to speak, in this realm. Rashi goes on to say, and on this he says, just like we allow women to do smicha and don't say they're in violation of avodas of avodah b'kodshim, in violation of using sacrifices for their own purpose, so too we do not say that women are in violation of Yom Tov when they blow the shofar. So what the Gemara has just done is presented the definition of sveika doicha Yom Tov and Reb Yossi's response to that argument, and why Reb Yossi still insists that when it comes to Kisui Adam, I can't learn from the case of Shofar. In the case of Kisui Adam, you're dealing with a real Suffolk. There you're dealing with the Kisui of the blood, the covering of blood of a Koi, which is a Suffolk Behema, Suffolk Chaya. As on the Behema side, it doesn't warrant Kisui. Only on the Chaya side does it warrant Kisui. And as far as the Shofar example, that is not parallel, because in the case of the shofar, the sveika by shofar was Suffolk man, Suffolk woman. As far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, on both sides of the equation, there is a, we'll call it a shofar fulfillment, a shofar blowing fulfillment. Omar Ravina, Ulamai de Koamri Rabbonon Nami Is Le Pircha. And even according to the Rabbonon, who introduced shofar as a challenge to Rabbi Yossi, there is a weakness to their challenge. What the Gemara is trying to say here is that besides Rabbi Yossi's shita regarding women and their legitimacy with regard to blowing the shofar, even that aside, the argument of shofar that the women, that the Rabbonon tried to use against Rabbi Yossi, has a weakness in it, as follows. Ma litkiyas shofar shekein vado doiche Shabbos ba-mikdosh toimar ba-kisui. Shofar has a feature that is stronger than the feature by Kisui, and this is what the Rabbi Yossi could have responded to the Rabbanan, that shofar that you're trying to use as an argument against me, in fact, has a strength more than that of Kisui, and that is that the shofar is blown on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash. As part of the halachas are concerned, the ruling of not blowing shofar on Shabbos applies only to the area outside the Beis HaMikdash, but in the Beis HaMikdash itself, shofar is blown. So can you say the same thing, can you argue from the shofar to the case of Kisui, Tomar B'Kisui? Let's say Klal. When it comes to Kisui, there is no Kisui whatsoever on Shabbos. That namely the need for kisui vadai ein vado, Rashi says ein vado doche Shabbos klal. So if you're trying to rebuff me from the case of shofar and trying to argue that the sveika is doche Yom Tov and therefore by kisui also, that you cannot say. Shofar has a strength more than you find by Kisui, in the sense that shofar vadai is blown in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, which you don't find by kisui whatsoever. This frame section is likewise a quote from the Rabbi Yossi source. Heishiv Relozer Akapa Bribi. Rabbi Elazar Akapa moved in instead of the Rabbanan to rebuff Rabbi Yossi and said, Ma lamila shekein eino neheges balele yomim toivim. How can you, Rabbi Yossi, make a kavachomer from Mila in trying to argue that the suffix is the suffix by kisui is not doche, when we know that Mila has a weakness to it? Ma lamila shekein eino neheges balele yomim toivim. The Gemara observes this comment and says, "Belele yomim tovim hu delo nohaga, b'shar leili nohaga." Is mila something that is not practiced on Yom Tov nights, but other nights it is practiced? Mila is not practiced at night any time. Elo, rather, the more accurate reading is as follows: Ma la mila, how can you, Rabbi Yossi, try to argue your point from mila to show that the suffix by kisui is not doche Shabbos, the suffix is not doche Yom Tov, from the case of Mila, when Mala Mila shekein eino noheges belelos kibiyomim, Mila is never done at night, as it is done by day, tomar bekisui shenoeg belelos kibiyomim. Kisui, though, has a strength to it, in that if you, let us say, slaughter at night, you also can do kisui adam at night. And by virtue of this fact, that kisui is noheg at night, it could very well be that a suffek involving kisui could be doche yom tov. Omar Rabbi Abba, and this is a comment we saw earlier, Rabbi Abba says, Ze echod min advorim shomer Rabbi Chiyo ein li aleim tshuva. This is an example of one of those things that Rabbi Chiyo said regarding Rabbi Yossi's argument, I have no response. However, Veheshiv Rabbi Elazar Kapa Ribi tshuva, and yet Rabbi Elazar Kapa Ribi was successful in rebuffing Rabbi Yossi's argument. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.